This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
Right corner of Saul Ross and Grossstark. This is your opportunity to ask questions and learn more about different faiths, group meetings, and other peace and interfaith initiatives here in Houston. See you there.
KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Polinsky.
And Jennifer Renee.
And I'm Glenn Holt.
Brian Levinka with a Y.
And I'm Brian with an I, Erickson.
On tonight's show, the Houston Pride Band will be here to discuss a concert this Saturday. It's called A Celebration of Relationships, and we'll have some of their music, too. Grab your favorite dance partner and head over to the Lesbian Health Initiative Valentine's Dance Fundraiser featuring comic Karen Williams. We'll tell you more about it in this hour. What do you do when you want to honor someone? Roast them, of course. Next week, Phyllis Fry will be roasted and toasted to honor her 60th birthday and all of her contributions to the community. We'll talk about that in our second hour. And also in the second hour, news wrap and other features from This Way Out. But first, do Super Bowl Sundays predict Super Tuesday primaries? Does Sunday's cliffhanger come from behind wind prognosticate like Punxsutawney Phil? We'll ask David Elliott, our resident political groundhog, next.
School. I prayed it would end. The jocks and their girls, it was their world. I didn't fit in. Mama said, baby, it's the best school money can buy. Be strong, hold your head up. Come on, Mary, try. I stole Mama's car on a Sunday. I left home for good. I moved in with some friends in the city, in a bad neighborhood. Charles was a dancer. He loved the ballet.
1999, Mary Gaucher, a cut called Drag Queens and Limousines from the album of the same name. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. Well, I think we need to do a reconnect there in Washington. And David Elliott is going to be talking to us about what's going on. And tomorrow being Super Duper Tuesday, we will, David?
Well, hello there, John.
Yes.
Hello, David. This is Jennifer.
So are we going to recap that game yesterday?
I didn't actually watch the game yesterday.
Neither did I.
Too busy crunching poll numbers and looking through delegate allocation rules for the 22 Super Tuesday states tomorrow.
Well, we can talk about the Patriots and the Giants tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I guess we could. Yeah, there was a big football game yesterday, and okay, I admit it, I missed it. I wasn't that tuned in, but you know what? We got history in the making.
Yes, I find it really interesting that, you know, we have to talk about delegates because that apparently is what's going to count tomorrow.
Well, you know what, Jack? I have to ask you a question. And, you know, you and I have known each other for more than a decade here.
Yeah, yes.
And you know, we've been friends for more than a decade. And, Jennifer, I haven't known you as long, but I feel like I know you. I feel like I reach out to you in the studio and you reach out to me.
Absolutely.
And I have a title, a headline that I would like to offer the two of you tonight. And I think both of you are going to know exactly what I mean when I offer you this title. And the title that I want to offer you is, and I guess this is a theme for what we might talk about tonight, is how proud are we?
Well, we're pretty damn proud.
Absolutely.
Well, let's consider what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, they call it Super Tuesday. Super Duper Tuesday.
Yeah, I heard it's Super Duper.
It's Tsunami Tuesday. I've even heard it called the Mother of All Tuesdays. But, you know, before we focus on history being made tomorrow, perhaps it's important to note that, in a way, history has already been made.
Yes.
I mean, for one thing, last month, since I last joined you all, for the first time in American history, a woman has won a major political party primary.
That's
Hillary
right.
Clinton, she won New Hampshire. And then in January, an African-American candidate for the Democratic nomination raised $32 million in 1 month, more than has ever been raised in the history of American politics. And he raised $29 million of that online. And you know what? One of these two individuals, Hillary Clinton or Barack Obama, one of these two courageous Democratic leaders, one of these two superstars, one of these two progressive individuals is going to be the Democratic presidential nominee. Think about that.
That's pretty impressive.
And our nominee is going to be either a woman or a black man. How proud are we?
Oh, absolutely.
How proud are we? It's incredible.
Yes, and it's even as much fun to listen to Rush Limbaugh, you know, condemn the leader in the Republican side. And even Ann Coulter said that if McCain gets a nomination, she might even vote for Hillary.
Well, you know, I don't want to spend too much time talking about that.
Yeah, neither do I.
It's great gossip. It's great juice. But, you know, we could talk about that for half an hour. But I would, you know, in the brief amount of time that I know I have tonight, I would like to talk a little bit about what is going to happen tomorrow. I'd like to briefly inform your listeners about what to look for when the votes start coming in tomorrow night, because we have a total of 24 states voting.
Yes.
22 Democratic primaries and caucuses, 22 Republican primaries and caucuses, but there's a little bit of crossover, which is why I say 24. For example, West Virginia is caucusing for the Republicans, but not for the Democrats. Kansas is caucusing for the Democrats, but not for the Republicans. There's, you know, a little bit of that minutia. And then after that, if we have time, I want to briefly talk about what comes next for the Democrats in February, and specifically why, for the first time in ages, Texas votes will matter
yes.
in the presidential
yes.
contest. So let's get right into it. Tomorrow night, there are going to be a total of 1,688 delegates allocated in the Democratic primaries and caucuses across the country. Now, that sounds pretty dramatic, right? But it's really, really important for folks to understand something. This thing is not going to end tomorrow. The polls are pretty close. Lately, you know, just this morning, in fact, there are a bunch of polls out there that kind of show Barack Obama surging a little bit. But I'm going to tell you something. At the end of the day tomorrow night, everything is going to be almost just as if it is today. One candidate might win 25 or 50 more delegates than the other candidate. One candidate might lose 25 or 50 more delegates than the other candidate. But we're talking about a total of almost 1,700 delegates being allocated. And the reason, and this is what's so important for the listeners tonight to understand, the reason why it is going to be so close is that the Democrats, unlike the Republicans, do not have winner-take-all rules. In other words, if Hillary Clinton wins 52% of the vote in California tomorrow night, and Barack Obama wins 48% of the vote in California tomorrow night, then the delegates they get are going to resemble those totals. Hillary would get about 52% of the delegates coming out of California. Barack Obama would get 48% of the delegates. That would only be a difference of about 10 or 15 delegates, if that.
Right.
And it's going to be that way across the country.
Yes, that's unlike the Republicans, where a lot of them is winner-take-all.
Exactly, which is why after tomorrow night is finished, John McCain will practically, or if not virtually, be the Republican nominee. He's going to rack up hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of delegates, and it's going to be completely lopsided. Whereas with the Democrats, it's going to be a fight to the finish. And I want to go on to what happens after Super Tuesday, because that's kind of important, you know, when it comes to understanding what comes next in this battle, this protracted battle, you know, to capture the Democratic nomination. The rest of February actually looks pretty good for Barack Obama in terms of what the schedule looks like. This coming Saturday, Louisiana has its primary. Washington State has its caucus. Nebraska has its caucus. The Virgin Islands have a primary. Next Tuesday, the states of Virginia, Maryland, and my home, Washington, D.C., they all have primaries. February 19th, 2 weeks and 1 day from now, Hawaii and Wisconsin have primaries. And then we ended up March 4th, Texas, Ohio, Rhode Island, and Vermont all have primaries. Now, for the primaries that are going to happen in February, they all look pretty positive for Obama. He's going to have a chance to get, you know, to get some momentum, while we've been hearing the Hillary Clinton campaign sort of hint that Texas and Ohio might be her big stands, to win this thing. So it's going to be really, really close, and it's really exciting, frankly. I mean, we have never, Jack, in the history of my lifetime, in the history of your lifetime, Jennifer, I'm sure in the history of your lifetime, we have never had a Democratic primary that has been this close down the line
right. So
long.
Right, and it may actually go all the way to the convention.
Potentially it could. I mean, I kind of think, Jack, that the absolute stopper would be Pennsylvania, which votes with its 222 delegates on April 22nd. I think at some point, either Obama or Clinton is going to have so much momentum, then it's going to sort of take on a life of its own. I don't think we're going to go to the convention. But, you know, I have to say something about both the Obama supporters and the Clinton supporters. They both deserve a heck of a lot of credit. We're having a really good fight. We're having a friendly family fight, and it's a clean fight. The Obama people are talking about change. The Clinton people are talking about experience, and both of them are making really, really good points. And it's something that we could look up to, and we can come out of this thing unified and feeling good about whichever one of our choices doesn't get it. You know, if I'm an Obama fan and Hillary gets the nomination, I will support her. If I'm a Hillary fan and Hillary doesn't get the nomination and Obama gets it, I will support him. We can come out of this thing incredibly unified. And you look over at the Republicans, can they say the same thing? I don't think so.
No, not at all.
Not at all. I mean, going into tomorrow, of course, this is going to change tomorrow, but do you all realize that John McCain, the Republican frontrunner, has yet to get even 40% in a single Republican primary or caucus?
Oh, yes, the best he's done is about 36%.
Exactly. Conservatives can't stand him.
Especially the far right wing of the Republican Party.
Well, Jennifer, that's true. that's true. You know, they don't like where he's been. He has opposed the constitutional amendment to ban gay marriage, same-sex marriage. He's been more moderate than other Republicans on immigration, although I personally wouldn't describe him as being very moderate on immigration. he was the co-sponsor of McCain-Feingold campaign finance reform, which so many Republicans hated. You know,
yes,
they wanted their
yes.
corporations to be able to pour millions and millions of dollars unfettered into our political system by elections, and he stood against that. And a lot of Republicans don't like that.
Well, and definitely we have to work together, whoever the nominee is, because it's not only electing a president, it's also electing a Congress that the Democratic nominee can work with.
Well, you know, that's a really, really good point. You know, sometimes it's not a matter of what the preacher is saying, but rather what the congregation is hearing and doing. And, you know, that might be a point that people want to consider when they're deciding between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. What are the down ballot effects going to be, you know, when it comes to selecting the Democratic nominee? Who is going to make us competitive in the so-called red states, and even in the blue states? Who is going to generate enthusiasm? And then going even deeper, you know, when you have red states like Texas, but you have extremely blue areas of those red states, like Houston and Dallas and
yes.
Austin and El Paso and the Valley, who is going to be incredibly enthusiastic about, you know, firing up the next generation, getting people to the polls, and what's going to happen next, and what do we do with that energy?
Exactly.
What do we do with
that? Yeah, exactly. And not only in the national elections of the Congress and Senate, but also in the local elections of changing that statewide. And, you know, there's a good chance, or there's a chance at least, that Harris County can turn blue, and that's very, very important. And especially with all the scandals that's going on here in the DA's office, that some of it even made the national news.
Well, I've been watching those scandals in your DA's office very, very closely, Jack, as have a lot of people in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. It's rather entertaining. It's like, as Molly Ivan says, you can't make this stuff up. So, you know, there's 22 states, and I guess we go from East Coast to West Coast in the results. It's going to be rather interesting, and it may be a rather late night.
Well, it might be. And Jack, I'm glad you mentioned that, because something that your listeners might, you know, if they're planning on watching the returns tomorrow night, here's sort of a timetable for them. Okay, only one state closes its polls at 6 p.m. Houston time, and that would be the state of Georgia. Now, Barack Obama should win Georgia handily by 10 to 15 percentage points. If he's not winning that strongly, it could be an early sign of trouble for him. At 7 o'clock Houston time, a whole bevy of states close their polls. Alabama, which should be going for Obama. Connecticut, which was supposed to be going for Hillary, but now looks like a bellwether state. That's Connecticut is a state that people should be looking for early on to get a sense of how this thing's going to go. Delaware also. Delaware now probably is looking toward Obama. He attended a rally in Wilmington, Delaware yesterday. Drew 15,000 people.
Wow.
Illinois is going to be strong Obama. Massachusetts should go Clinton, but by 7:30 or 8 o'clock Houston time, if you're following the returns and if it looks like it's going Clinton heavy, that means it's going to be a good night for her. But if it's going Obama even by a couple of points, that could be an indication that it's a going to be a good night for him. Also, Missouri is an extreme bellwether. Could go either way. In fact, Missouri and California tonight are the closest states that I'm having trouble calling either way. They could go either for Obama or Hillary. New Jersey also closes at 7 p.m. Houston time. That should be a Hillary state, but if Obama is doing well there, that could be a sign. Oklahoma closes at 7 p.m. Houston time. That should be a strong Hillary Clinton state. Tennessee closes at 7 p.m. Houston time. That one could be totally up in the air. But then again, you know, Jack and Jennifer, when you look out west, then it's going to be a late night. I mean, California, obviously, is the big prize. Some late polls out in California have Barack Obama in the lead, but early voting has been going on for 2 or 3 weeks now. Those votes presumably have been more like 60-40 toward Hillary Clinton. California will not close its polls until 11 p.m. Houston time. You know, folks, we're not going to know what the storyline of this election is until probably, you know, midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning your time. It's going to be very, very close. And I want to reiterate something I said earlier. This thing is not going to end tomorrow. Almost 1,700 delegates are going to be allocated tomorrow. Probably we're going to be looking at a range from, you know, Obama might win 25 or 50 delegates. Hillary Clinton might win 25 or 50 delegates. And you note, I always come on this program, I always predict the outcome to elections.
Yes.
Yes.
I am not predicting tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Well, David, I mean, besides all of this really interesting stuff, what do you do for your day job?
Well, Jack, for my day job, I work for the National Coalition to Abolish the Death Penalty. Our website is at www.ncadp.org. That's ncadp.org. But, you know, right now I'm all about Super Tuesday. I'm going to be staying up all night tomorrow night.
Okay.
All right.
Well, David, we'll talk to you next month, the first Monday of March. And, well, we'll probably talk in between because this stuff is really, really interesting.
Okay.
David, thank you for joining us on Queer Voices.
Good night. You all take care.
All right. Bye-bye.
The Houston Pride Band is next, and by way of introduction, here's something from the Houston Pride Band Sax Quartet. It's called Fanfare by American composer Arthur Frankenpohl.
School, I always heard the term BQ, which of course meant band queer. Little did I know that a few years later I would actually be a band queer. You were listening to music from the Houston Pride Band, and in the studio we have Rudy Martinez, who is probably a BQ himself.
Yeah, quite a big one.
Yes, well, I grew up loving band and everything, and I have noticed Houston Pride Band at AIDS Walk in different places. I understand you have a concert coming up.
Yes, we do. We have a concert coming up on February 9th. That's this Saturday. It's going to be held at Resurrection MCC, located over off of T.C. Jester and West 18th. The concert starts at 7 o'clock, and doors will open up at 6:30.
And what sort of music will you be playing?
Well, we're going to be playing a variety of music, beginning with West Side Story.
Oh, West Side Story.
A lot of people are familiar.
Maria, or what are you going to play?
Well, we're playing the whole gamut
of
West Side Story.
I'm going to start singing here in a second.
Yeah, exactly. In addition to West Side Story, we'll be playing Amazing Grace, which is a beautiful concert piece. A lot of sustained notes to where we complain bitterly about not being able to breathe.
Oh, come on now. A gay man in a band can't breathe? Okay, now tell me.
A BQ can handle it.
I know. We're trained to do that.
Well, I'll just give you a little bit more information about that, about the concert.
It's this Saturday, and it is a concert for couples, I hear?
Yeah. We are currently in our 30th anniversary season, and the concert theme is going to be celebrating relationships, which I think is quite appropriate for being so close to the Valentine holiday. Yeah. In addition to celebrating relationships, we're raffling off a cruise for two, courtesy of Concierge Travel.
There's a silent auction there, too, right?
Yeah, we're going to be having a silent auction. So for those of you out there who may have forgotten about your significant other, you have the opportunity to actually go and bid on an item.
Is there any word that people can still submit items for the silent auction, or is that closed off?
No, we're still accepting. We're still accepting items.
Okay, who can they get in contact with for that?
They can get in contact either through the website at www.houstonprideband.org, or they can contact us via email, info@houstonprideband.org, or they can call 713-862-9491.
Very good. Now, what if you're an old BQ like me? I have multiple years' experience in band, and I'm interested in joining the Pride Band. How would I go about doing that? Or is it open to anyone?
It's basically open to anyone. Membership is open to all brass, woodwind, and percussion players, both gay and gay-friendly alike. So while we are predominantly gay, we're not gay-exclusive. We're all-inclusive, if you will. And yeah.
You got to have somebody who can play the timpani, gay or not gay, right?
Exactly, yeah. So we have a few of our straight friends involved in the band, so it makes a nice mix. We welcome all musicians of all skill levels. There's no audition.
No audition?
No audition.
Anybody could just...
Even I can come out?
Even you can come out.
Yeah. You're already out.
Amen.
Sister. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, I'm reading here that you perform, and I've seen you many years at AIDS Walk. You're always on... The Pride Band is always on the side cheering us on.
Yeah, and again, this year we're going to be performing for AIDS Walk. As a matter of fact, the band has a team site for AIDS Walk, and you can actually go to the AIDSWalkHouston.org site and either donate to the team, or you can just make a general donation, if you will.
Which is a wonderful cause for AIDS Foundation Houston and other worthy charities in our community. You had mentioned that this is the 30th anniversary, and I understand that you're having a 30th anniversary concert coming up.
Yes.
Tell me more about that.
Well, in addition to Amazing Grace and West Side Story, some of those pieces that we're playing, we're also playing a very unique piece called Rollo Takes a Walk, where many of us in the clarinet section are playing kazoos.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one of those progressive pieces, if you will.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Progressive kazoo piece.
Yeah, exactly. And not to mention, we have one piece, Concertino for Clarinet, where our first clarinetist, Ron Louvier, and Ron, I apologize right now if I slaughtered your name.
It's probably Louvier.
Louvier. Louvier. I kept going back and forth myself. Is it Louvier? Louvier? I don't know.
He's going to really get on you if he's a BQ.
Exactly. And, I mean, he's a clarinet aficionado, and he's just absolutely wonderful. It's a solo piece, and the band plays backup. As well, we have another piece called Ukrainian Folk Songs, and it has so many cherished pieces within it.
I think I played that in high school. I love that.
I think it kind of goes well with the whole theme of the celebrating relationships. There's pieces like, let's see, The Repentant Wife, The Merry Widow.
The Merry Widow.
Yeah, and The Wife Who Beat Her Husband. Yeah.
Okay, so this concert is celebrating relationships. What if you are a single gay man? Would this be an event that you might want to attend?
Oh,
yeah, or lesbian, gay man, lesbian, transgendered, all the community?
Oh, certainly. I mean, it's a concert that anyone can enjoy. And certainly if you go in and you purchase a raffle ticket, you know, you can invite one of your other gay friends or maybe a straight parent, you know, anything like that. Not to mention the proceeds from the concert and go towards PFLAG.
Oh, absolutely. That's great.
Fantastic.
Okay, so we mentioned the website.
Why don't you give us the website one more time?
Yeah, that's www.houstonprideband.org, and you can email us at info@houstonprideband.org.
Now, are there samples of your music on the website that we could go and listen to?
No, I don't believe so, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's copyright issues on that one.
Oh, I see. I see. How about a MySpace page?
We do have a MySpace page.
Okay.
Houston Pride Band.
Very good. Now, do you have music on that?
That's a good question. I have not been to the MySpace.
Oh, no.
I just found out about it.
Okay.
I just found out about it.
Well, that's the new wave. Everybody has to have a MySpace page.
We're going
to
have to get a BQ who's literate with the computer, and they can make the page.
I am so the computer nerd BQ right here. Okay, so if someone wants to join, they can contact one of the members or through the website.
Right.
And there's no audition.
Right.
This Saturday is the concert. And let's see.
Oh, yeah. As far as the silent auction goes, what kind of mediums are they going to have up there? Is it just going to be paintings, or could it be any form of art?
Well,
sculpture?
The silent auction is going to include all types of gifts that we receive from the community. I believe one of the gifts out there is a spa package.
A spa package?
Yes.
Interesting.
BQ's got to love the spa package.
So a spa, yes. Or a chance to win a cruise.
Mm-hmm.
Or even to go to the event and be cruised.
Very good. And
yeah,
to hear wonderful
single
music.
Single gay male.
And it's at Resurrection, you said.
Yes, Resurrection MCC on TC Jester at West 18th.
That's right.
Yep. I would like to bring up for my bandies out there, if you will. We are open enrollment. You can show up at any time. We encourage band members or previous band members to come and join us in one of our rehearsals before they decide that they want to join the band. I just want to let everybody know that membership within the band, aside from the complimentary toaster oven that you get,
I love that.
Yeah, that's a selling point.
Exactly. It is a great social outlet. It's a musical outlet for all the like-minded individuals who are bandies from the past, BQs, if you will, as you've mentioned.
Yeah. Now, how rigorous is the schedule throughout the year? I mean, how often do y'all get together and play?
We get together pretty much weekly on Wednesdays, and we rehearse over at Resurrection MCC in the Activity Center. And it's Wednesday, 7:30 to 9:30, so anybody who's interested can show up at any time.
But what's the usual size of the turnouts?
For the band, in the past, the band has been anywhere from 30 members or less sometimes. Right now, we've had a great influx. We've seen a great increase in membership, and we're 30-plus now. But to hear the band president talk about it, Kevin Taylor mentioned that at one point in time during the history of the band and many the incarnations that it went through, it was like maybe 5 or 6 people around in a circle playing to themselves. So,
which is a band, you know.
Yeah, it's a band.
You know,
definitely.
Music is band.
You know, hopefully hearing on the air tonight, you know, those BQs that are out there that are not a part of it can join up and become a part of it. Take
definitely.
A more active role.
Absolutely. So let's hit the website again. HoustonPrideBand.org.
Mm-hmm.
Concert this Saturday.
This Saturday at 7 p.m. at Resurrection MCC.
Anything else you would like to tell the people out there?
Well, aside from the fact that it's a great outlet, again, for those who are trying to get a little bit more involved in the LGBT community, it helps you to really feel closer to the community by the way we participate in such things like the AIDS Walk. In addition to, we're going to be giving a free children's concert in April. So it's just varied opportunities to be involved in the community.
And I do remember that you perform at Pride usually. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you have won a couple of awards, I think.
Yeah, actually, we won
Best Musical Performance Award, I think. Maybe Jack can help us on that. But y'all marched in the parade.
Correct.
That must be tough.
It was, especially when we were in formation and were going to play to the judges on the left-hand side of the street, and we realized the judges were on the right-hand side right before we went up, so we had to do a quick scramble and recreate the formation.
And so y'all just everybody switch.
Exactly. So I went from in the front and to the left, to the back, and to the right. So
I see. Yeah, I've never walked the parade. I've only ridden on the float, so I can't imagine walking and playing and, you know, then stopping and performing and then walking the rest of the parade.
Yeah, it's like walking and chewing gum.
Yeah, and that's hard, you know. All right, Rudy. This Saturday, if you're a BQ, don't be square. Go out and attend the concert. You could win a trip, a cruise. There's a fabulous silent auction. Great music. I mean, West Side Story alone is worth going and listening to.
And remember, if you're a BQ out there, you can get a toaster by joining up.
Exactly.
You get your buns toasted. All right, Rudy. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
That was Rudy Martinez from the Houston Pride Band talking with the two Bryans. The Houston Pride Band Sax Quintet takes them out with another piece from Arthur Frankenpohl, and this is called Finale. Finale, as performed by the Houston Pride Band Sax Quartet. This is Queer Voices.
And this is Jennifer Renee. And in the studio with me, I have Pat Gandy from the Lesbian Health Initiative. Their Valentine's Dance is coming up this Friday. I mean, this Saturday.
Yeah.
Okay, I better look at what it was printed here. Yes, Saturday, February 9th. And let's see, it's at Renaissance Hotel, Greenway Plaza.
That's right. We tried it on a Friday, the very first one, but and it worked good. But we decided after that because people said, you know, it'd really be better if you had these on Saturday night. So ever since then, we try to have them on the first Saturday before the 14th of February, and we term it our Valentine Gala. And it's our annual celebration of love, which we coined that phrase, and no one else can use it. Only LHI and the Valentine Dance.
Now we do have on the entertainment for tonight for this fundraising is the comic Karen Williams, and I believe we have her on the phone.
Yes, I'm here.
Well, welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome, Karen. I'm Pat Gandy.
Nice to meet you, Peg.
Thank you.
See you on Saturday.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, what kind? I know that I haven't had a chance to meet you, so tell me something about your humor. Are you more of a political satirist, or what sort of humor?
No, that would require too much reading. Too much reading and sour analysis.
I'm
a little too positive for that.
Oh, God, you're so right.
Yes, you are so right. You know, just pretty much topical, and also because I have my Ha Ha Institute, the International Institute of Humor and Healing Arts, I lean very heavily towards humor that is affirming, that draws us together as a community, and I certainly am looking forward to this event and finding out more about the organization that's sponsoring it, because it sounds like they do very, very good work.
Have you been to Houston before?
Yes, I have, many times.
Yeah, that's we're eager to see you too, Karen. Several of members of our board have heard you before. I have never had that pleasure, but they were just all agog about what a wonderful, inspiring person you are. I think her humor, to answer your question, her humor is not just humor, but it's inspiring and it's laughter in the best sense of the word. Does that sort of help?
Yes, it does. Well, and I came out of the San Francisco Bay Area many, many years. This is actually my 25th year of doing comedy, and, you know, growing up in that atmosphere of, I say growing up in terms of my comedy career, because, you know, we actually created the genre of lesbian and gay comedy in San Francisco. I know the New Yorkers don't like to hear that, but too bad.
We won't tell them.
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah,
really, it was very tied into the activism of the day, which was being able to be responsive at a time of the impending AIDS pandemic and the crisis.
Well,
that community.
Well, it's so healing to have that kind of laughter and to be able to laugh at ourselves sometimes and laugh at our circumstances.
And to be able to link it to activism, because being in San Francisco was so powerful when the government under Reagan, if people remember, was so unresponsive.
Yes.
I was at events where $250,000 was raised by the community itself.
Right.
To tend to its own needs.
Yeah, we've had that situation here in Houston too, that the community had to rise, and that's sort of what we have been doing with the Lesbian Health Initiative.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that there seemed to be some early on, we've been in business, so to speak, about 15 or 16 years.
Right.
And the first started with the idea that some studies seemed to show that lesbians had more incidences of breast cancer than
mm-hmm.
straight women.
Right.
And possibly because of something to do with not having children. Of course, the way lesbians are having children these days, that may change completely.
Well, but also I think that the hidden part about that, if I may venture to say, is that for many of us, the whole medical field has not been our friend
right.
early on in terms of exposure. I mean, I still go and get checked every year. You know, you have to get
sure.
all these exams and stuff and still get asked, you know, talk to as though I'm a heterosexual
uh-huh, right.
in terms of the questioning.
Uh-huh.
You know, a lot of focus on my childbearing abilities.
Yes, right.
You know,
right.
and, you know, many times you have to say, you know, well, I have this person as a partner. I'm doing this. And I think that the uncomfortability of that for many, many LGBT people means
right.
that we don't go to the doctor probably as often as we should.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that pressed LHI to the forefront.
Mm-hmm.
We not only give mammograms, we give well woman exams of all kinds.
I mean, I've had some women try to give me a mammogram, but it wasn't really that effective.
Yes.
I hope they didn't find something.
No, never.
Are they still looking?
We have a budding comic here, huh, Karen?
Yes, he's trying hard, but I'm going to tell him to keep his day job.
Oh, well, thank you. Hey, this is my day job.
I
get paid so much doing this.
Well, I'm looking forward to the event. It sounds like you're doing good work there in Houston, and it's a place I love to come. And so I'm looking forward to being with all of you as well.
Okay, we certainly do. Thank you.
Tell me something about, give us a little hint of what you're going to be sharing with us at the gala on Saturday.
Well, it depends on if I find the crowd is not stuffy, I can actually talk about the forbidden subject of sex, which I love to talk about. Because
they'll probably
for the women,
like that.
You know, it's very hard for us to be in this world and hear much about our lives at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, for years I read Architectural Digest, and you could see Sir Lord so-and-so living with his partner, and they showed their fabulous estate. I don't even know if a lesbian couple has even ever been featured in that magazine. You know what I mean? We
yes,
are really
I know what you mean.
Invisible people.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so it's great to be able to be out, to be able to be outspoken, and to be able to be together and share, have a shared experience around that. So I cannot tell you what I'm going to do. I'm not the type that comes there prefabricated. I come, I feel what needs to be said, and as I even say in my act, I'm a channel. That way, anything I say, I can't be held to afterwards because I won't remember.
Yeah. Good for you. I think that's a wonderful way to do it.
This is a fundraiser on Saturday. There's a real serious side to this.
There's
this
a serious
is the fun,
side to
the good work that the LHI is doing.
Yeah, it isn't our prime source of funds, but we created it primarily to begin with. To raise a little money and then also to provide a venue for lesbians to come out dressed up and be together in a big hotel with dinner, speaker and always it's always a comic and dance and just enjoy ourselves as well as make a little money off of it. But the it wasn't just as a fundraiser because we don't make millions off of it or anything. But the other part of it has been just as successful as the money part of it, because it's an event looked forward to by the women in the community every year.
That's wonderful.
Supported very, very generously by everyone.
Yeah, I know that you were talking about that, and it also had here on the press release how to get reservations at the hotel.
Sure.
I mean, you might want to after a little dancing, you might not want to go home.
Right. Right. A lot of people do that. We know people that live as far out as Pearland and Katy and, you know, the Woodlands and all that. You know, these are the burbs around here, Karen.
Oh, well, that's what I tell people. You know, I can't afford to live anymore in the big city, so I live in a suburb of California, Cleveland.
Yes, there you go. But so you can get a room at the Renaissance Hotel.
Well, I will be there.
Well, yeah, you will. We have you one ready, but anyone listening that would like to do that.
How do they get in touch?
They just call they can call the Renaissance Hotel if they want a reservation for a hotel room. But to get a hold of us, you need to call 713-426-3356. That's the phone number, and my partner Lucy Watson will talk. She's the president of the organization and the chief. You know, she's it. She's we rest of us do the legwork, and she tells us what to do.
Yeah, you'll have a that sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah.
Then that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yeah, that's what.
I don't know. I always ended up being the homebody. anyway, you have a website too.
Yes, we have a website, and it's lhi.org. And if you'll go on that, you can see a place where it'll say events, and you punch events, and you'll have big picture there of Karen and the information about how to go about doing all this stuff too. And you can email us if you want to at lhihouston00@aol.com.
Well, you're just a bundle of information there.
I've done this like 7 years running. It's getting where I'm fairly good at it.
I noticed it was just rolling off your tongue like you've done this before. And again, to remind everybody, this is this coming Saturday, and it's at the Renaissance Hotel at Greenway Plaza. And Karen, are you going to be doing any other performances other than Saturday night while you're here?
No, I'm literally coming in on Saturday, entertaining the troops on Saturday night, and then taking off on Sunday. But I'm going to hang out and dance and get to know the people and enjoy the night with everyone else.
Well, tell us again about your website.
My website is www.hahainstitute.com, or people can Google me, Karen Williams, and get far more information than I ever really wanted people to know.
I hear that.
Well, that's what happens when you put it up on the internet.
Well, I don't put it up there, I know.
You know, I hear that because I Googled my name one time, and every article I'd written to the gay press around here for the last 20 years was
right,
there for
right.
everyone to see,
YouTube,
and my
and
gosh.
I have no idea who did that. So.
And I don't either.
So anyway, you know. That's the way of the modern world.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We have no secrets.
Well, not anymore, not in this day and age. Well, Karen, I look forward to seeing you on Saturday night.
Thank you so much.
And
please, everybody out there, come on out and support a really great cause.
Absolutely. You've got to come see you.
And we'll be there.
Give us the information one more time before we close.
That call 713-426-3356 if you want a direct phone call. Or you can Google LHI Houston. And LHI.org will show up. Where you can punch events and you can get the information from that, or you can find out about all the work we do and how we're connected into the community and all that good stuff about LHI Lesbian Health, or you can say Lesbian Health Initiative and Google that, and we'll come up on that too.
Thank you, Pat Gandy and Karen Williams. This is Jennifer Renee, and this is Queer Voices.
And do stay tuned for News Wrap from This Way Out. It's coming up at the top of the hour.
So my brother says God is a flat-butted, crew-cutted linebacker, a macho babe hijacker, panting at the line of scrimmage. He makes God in his own image, and I don't begrudge him that. But his is a God who hates all fads, Jews, Hindus, and kids in rags. The Bible can thump like a big bass drum till every single sacred cow comes home. I know where that's at. God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. You can't get around to the other side. You can't outrun him. Shock and awe. So my brother says, say what you will, and I don't really care what you do. It's your life and it's up to you. But then he blinks his eye, which is true sky blue. Puts his arm around his daughter, turns to view the two. Jumps and cheers when his team rocks. Then there's the garden with open arms. He's the God of the family farms. Inhabits the fields and the flowers and the barns. Smiles when the missus darns her husband's socks. God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. You can't get around to the other side. You can't have a run to shock and hide. So my brother says, you know that I don't like to fight, but I think I know what's wrong for what's right. Whatever some people may do or say, you can't tell me it's okay. It ain't no way to be. And there's the God who lives in every tree. She's the one who created me. Easter waking up the spring. I'm not sure to whom I should sing or from whom I should flee. God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. You can't get around to the other side. You can't outrun him in your shock and hide. Brother, he jumps into the shiny car, though he never seems to drive too far. To the PTA, to the boating pool, to get a film for his sweet tooth, he drives to the mall.
Well, there's a God of me and a God of light, a God who brights and frightening night, a God who's gonna make all things right. Awesome, how might this be the true God after all? God is wise. God is wise. God is around to the other side. You can't hold a runner and you sure can't hide. God is wise. God is wise. God is wise. You can't get around to the other side. You can't hold a runner and you sure can't hide. So my brother said.
David Hall, and that's called God is Wide. And Jack, I have to be careful how I say that, because people sometimes think, especially, you know, when you listen to the music, that David is saying that God is white. But no, the title is God is Wide.
Well, coming up this week, the caucus endorsement meeting is Wednesday, starting at 6:30, and the actual meeting starts at 7, but there's sort of a get-together, and that's at the Haven Center, which Jennifer is the...
2807?
No, it's like 1846.
Hey, is it really?
Oh, yes. Come on.
I know where it is.
Aren't you the president?
Yeah, well,
shouldn't
I know how
know?
To get there. It's right next to the chocolate bar.
Ah.
on West Alabama.
We all know where that is.
Yes, everybody knows where that is. Or St. Stephen's Church is right there. It is actually is part of St. Stephen's Church, and to the good graces of there, and they have allowed us to use it. We do pay them rent for it, but it was really nice of them to do so. It is this Wednesday. It's the endorsement meeting, so any of you who are members, please be there. There's going to be the largest gathering of candidates for vying for an endorsement from the caucus that's ever been in one spot at the same time. It's rather remarkable. The caucus has come a long way. It's important that you come. If you haven't picked out a candidate you want to support and have volunteered for their campaign, please take some time, volunteer with the caucus, and then you can support all of them, especially when they're supporting our community.
Absolutely. And it is real important, because as much as we talk about the presidential election, there's so much other offices that are up for re-election, and we really need to have more than just the president elected. We need to have a lot of support, because there's so much, and also the local issues here that are very important. The judges, they really have a say in your daily life, whether you're trying to adopt, you get caught for a speeding ticket, you know, a whole bunch of other things.
Well, and a lot of also the sheriff, the DA's office, can, you know, all of these things affect our lives on a daily basis. So it's important that we support the candidates that are supportive of our community, as well as, you know, if you want something to if you want to protect your life and be secure, it's all local.
And shortly we'll be talking to Phyllis. Phyllis Fry, who's having a roast coming up in the next
now, that's
week.
Not, that means she's serving dinner a roast, is it?
No, not at all. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Now, more of Queer Voices with Jack Walensky and the entire Queer Voices crew.
This way.
I'm Christopher Galt.
And I'm Donna Ann Ward.
With News Wrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending February 2nd, 2008. Spaniards go to the polls on March 9th, but the socialist government's two-year-old same-gender marriage law has not been a major issue in the campaign. The conservative opposition Partido Popular had strongly condemned it and said they'd use the law to oust the progressive government of Prime Minister José Luis Rodríguez Zapatero, who took office in April 2004. But recent surveys show that same-gender marriage enjoys overwhelming support in Spain. According to a public opinion poll released in January by Instituto Opina, nearly 75% of those questioned said that they're comfortable with same-gender marriage, and only 18% favored repealing the law. The Roman Catholic Church, which also opposed it and has urged that the law be rescinded, endorsed a Madrid rally on December 30th, where about 20 Catholic bishops joined hundreds of thousands marching in opposition to marriage equality. Pope Benedict XVI, in a video link from Rome, repeated previous statements that only a relationship between one man and one woman should be legally recognized. And the Spanish Bishops' Conference issued a statement this week implicitly supporting the Partido Popular by warning that not all political positions are equally compatible with the faith and Christian demands in life. But Zapatero's government has insisted that it would not accept moral guardianship from anyone. Deputy Prime Minister Maria Teresa Fernandez de la Vega said that the church could no longer impose its version of morality on the country, as it had a generation ago under the fascist rule of Generalissimo Francisco Franco. When Zapatero called national elections in mid-January, he said that the same-gender marriage law was one of his greatest achievements, but his government is facing stiff competition from the Partido Popular, mostly over rising inflation and other economic issues. Recent polls show the two parties running neck and neck.
It's been a year and a half since civil unions became legal in the Czech Republic, making it the first post-Soviet nation to recognize same-gender couples. But less than 500 of them have thus far taken advantage of the law. It grants registered same and unmarried opposite gender couples inheritance and health care rights similar to those given to heterosexually married couples. The law, however, specifically bans same-gender marriage and the adoption of children by gay and lesbian couples. But a study of partnership registries by the Sadovsky Management Agency found only 487 same-gender couples had registered by the end of 2007, according to a report this week by the CTK News Agency. It said that 353 of those couples were gay men, while 134 were lesbians. 43 involved a foreign national, mostly from Slovakia, along with Azerbaijan, Taiwan, Israel, Mexico, Kazakhstan, Armenia, the Netherlands, the U.S., and Canada. 8 of the partnerships have been dissolved. Homosexuality was outlawed in the former Czechoslovakia until 1961.
Sex between men in Jamaica remains illegal, punishable by up to 10 years in jail, and reports of physical attacks against LGBT people are sadly routine in the Caribbean nation. According to Human Rights Watch, the latest involved a group of 4 men living together in the central Jamaican town of Mandeville. A mob gathered outside the house this week and demanded that the men leave the area because they're gay. The 4 men inside called the police when they saw the crowd gathering. About a half hour later, 15 to 20 men broke down the door and began beating and slashing the inhabitants. The victim said that police didn't arrive until 90 minutes after they'd first called for help. One man ran from the house with the mob in pursuit and is still missing. A Jamaican newspaper reported that blood was found at the mouth of a nearby pit, suggesting that he had fallen inside or may have been killed nearby. 2 of the other men were hospitalized. The left ear of one of them had been severed, and his arm was broken in 2 places. International human rights groups have called Jamaica one of the most homophobic places in the world and have urged the government to repeal its anti-queer laws, but that hasn't happened. The Jamaica Forum for Lesbians, All Sexuals, and Gays, or JFLAG, said in a statement this week that when those with whom we entrust the responsibility of leadership fail to act decisively, they betray all Jamaicans.
In Australia, several hundred demonstrators attended a rally in Sydney this week to protest escalating violence against LGBT people along Oxford Street and what is considered to be other queer-friendly parts of Darlinghurst. Speakers condemned the violence and called on government authorities to do more to prevent it. Meanwhile, the notoriously anti-queer Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas, which is infamous for its God Hates Fags website, has created another, GodHatesAustralia.com. Led by publicity hound Fred Phelps, the group picketed the funeral of gay-bashed Wyoming student Matthew Shepard and has been demonstrating at the funerals of U.S. soldiers killed in Iraq because of America's supposed support for queer equality. They've now added Australians to the list of those who'll burn in hell because of the late Aussie actor Heath Ledger's portrayal of a gay cowboy in Brokeback Mountain. The group called for true believers to picket his funeral. They say that Ledger, who was not gay, was worse than a real homosexual because such people enable them. A Phelps spokesperson told reporters that Australia has outlawed genuine gospel preaching for so long now that the nation is irreversibly doomed.
A member of Israel's religious Shas party told a parliamentary committee this week that homosexuality is an epidemic and should be dealt with like the health ministry deals with bird flu. Nissim Ze'ev was speaking in support of a bill that targets pride events in Jerusalem and would give the city the power to ban public gatherings that insult religious values and public feelings. He said that gays and lesbians should be treated the same way as drug addicts and alcoholics and forced into rehabilitation. The Association of Gay Men, Lesbians, Bisexuals, and Transgenders, Aguda, said that if the bill passes, it would turn Jerusalem into the international capital of darkness.
At least 14 cross-dressers in Kuwait have been arrested under a new law that criminalizes imitating the appearance of the opposite sex. According to a statement issued by Human Rights Watch, they're being held in a special ward of Talaa prison, where guards have shaved off the detainees' hair and subjected them to other psychological and physical abuse. Transgender people in Kuwait tell Human Rights Watch that they are now afraid to leave their homes, the statement said, even for work or to meet basic needs, for fear of arrest and ill treatment. Article 199 of the Middle East Nations Criminal Code, approved by the National Assembly on December 10th, states that any person committing an indecent act in a public place or imitating the appearance of a member of the opposite sex shall be subject to imprisonment for a period not exceeding 1 year or a fine not exceeding 1,000 dinars, which is about $3,700. Joe Stork, Deputy Director of Human Rights Watch Middle East Division, told reporters that the wave of arrests in the past month shows exactly why Kuwait should repeal this repressive law.
And finally, there was both bad news and good news for LGBT activists in the U.S. late this week. The Florida Division of Elections announced on February 1st that a petition drive promoting a constitutional amendment to ban same-gender marriage has qualified for the November state ballot. There was some question about whether the sponsoring group, Florida for Marriage, would be able to gather enough support to qualify the measure, but a last-minute push, primarily among churchgoers, managed to secure the number of required signatures. Even though Florida already restricts marriage to heterosexual couples, proponents of the constitutional ban said that law could be overturned in court. The amendment says, "Inasmuch as marriage is the legal union of only one man and one woman, no other legal union that is treated as marriage or the substantial equivalent thereof shall be valid or recognized." LGBT advocates say that its wording is so broad that it could also nullify domestic partnership benefits already in place in some areas for same-gender couples and opposite-gender senior citizen couples whose Social Security and other benefits could be lost if they remarry. Because it will amend the Florida state constitution, passage will require a 60% vote.
But a state law allowing same-gender couples to register as domestic partners in Oregon took effect on February 1st after a federal judge ruled that the state's process of evaluating petition signatures attempting to repeal the measure was consistent enough to be valid. The law passed last year and was to take effect on January 1st, but U.S. District Judge Michael Mossman suspended it in late December to hear testimony challenging the nullification of what would have been enough signatures to qualify the repeal effort. The petitions fell 96 signatures short of the 55,179 needed to place it on the November ballot. The petitioners claimed that county clerks rejected signatures improperly, but Mossman decided that a common standard for evaluating signatures existed in all 36 Oregon counties. The Alliance Defense Fund, an Arizona-based group that advocates for so-called Christian legal issues, said it would appeal Mossman's ruling. But the state has already put the domestic partnership applications online, and queer rights activists predicted that hundreds of happy couples would quickly register their relationships. They'll be able to file joint state tax returns, inherit each other's property, and make medical choices on each other's behalf, along with several other state benefits given to heterosexually married couples. While Massachusetts remains the only state with full marriage equality, Oregon becomes the ninth to approve spousal rights in some form for same-gender couples, joining California, Connecticut, Hawaii, Maine, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Vermont, and Washington.
That's News Wrap for the week ending February 2nd, 2008, written by Greg Gordon and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Donna Ann Ward.
And I'm Christopher Gall.
This is Queer Voices.
With us on the line is Phyllis Fry. Good evening, Phyllis.
Hey, how are you?
Well, and we had hoped to have you here, but you got a reason why you're not here.
Yeah, I'm going to Creating Change for the with the GL Task Force in Detroit, so I'm leaving to go tomorrow.
Yes, I'm sure it's going to be very balmy weather up there, too.
Well, it's just as long as it lets me fly in and fly out on schedule, that's fine.
And where is the conference? Is it downtown?
Yeah, it's at the Renaissance Center.
Oh.
It's a huge complex.
Sure.
I was there in 95 when they had it in Detroit. It's not laid out the same way, but it's kind of like gluing our George W. Brown Convention Center with the hotel and with the future new hotel and possibly with the park shops that are downtown. If you glued all those together into one big conglomerate, it's very convention friendly.
Well, yeah, I guess it sort of has to be in Detroit all together. And anybody who hasn't been to the Creating Change Conference are absolutely fabulous.
Yeah, they really are. The workshops are great, and of course, Creating Change, the task force, has become our lead, unifying, GLBT organization since HRC abdicated, the unity,
Well, and Houston's always had sort of a close tie with NGLTF because of Jenny Apuzzo and Larry Bonnerese, you know, sort of working together. And of course, the organization, which was much smaller back in the 80s, but Jenny used to come into town sometimes for Pride. And it's just a great grassroots organization. And of course, David Elliott, who we talked to earlier, used to be the communications director for the task force.
Yes.
So, but anyway, that's not why we were talking tonight. We're talking because there's going to be a special celebration and roast of Phyllis Fry a week from today. Is that correct?
Yes. In 6 days, I'll turn 60, and I was talking to Jerry Simino, my law partner, about the Freedom to Marry Week celebrations that always go on right around my birthday. And I said, you know, Jerry, I'm going to be 60. And if y'all would like to turn my birthday into a fundraiser roast, as long as it's not a real heavy roast, but kind of a fun roast, not a burning, scorching roast, that I would be willing to...
We're not going to let you get away with that.
So a week from tonight, in fact, you and Deb and Jennifer and A are all going to be roasters. And how are y'all going to do your radio show?
I don't know.
We have the next generation here to take over.
Either that or y'all will have to be some of the early roasters so that y'all can hop in a car and head over.
I don't want to miss any of it because I know it's going to be a fun night.
I think it will be a lot of fun. We got some great roasters.
Well, we also have a long history to talk about Phyllis Fry. And some people even know you longer than I do, so I'm really excited about listening to some of those stories. And I have a couple of my own favorites.
Well, I've heard a few of them, and you know, you and I go back a long way. What can I say?
Well, we do, and it's definitely an admiration of all the hard work that you've done over the years and how tough it was for you in the early days.
Well, and the hard work that you've done all these years and the fact that you were one of the people who gave me solace and respite when things were going tough, and I thank you for that.
Well, and how you continue to work. I mean, the work you've been doing on the screening committee for the caucus has just been fabulous. You basically rewrote the questionnaire, and in fact, we were looking at some of those questions saying, wow, this is pretty damn tough, and we've always had a tough questionnaire. And thorough, and very thorough.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm really excited about this election that's coming up in November because we finally have a chance to bring some sanity back to government, and it's been a total of joy and very satisfying to be able to screen very mature, very articulate, very people-serving and people-friendly individuals who want to run for various offices in county government and state legislature and U.S. Congress and different judgeships from the Texas Supreme Court through the 1st and 14th Appellate all of the misdemeanor and felony and civil and probate and family courts that we have down downtown, and then all the little JP courts around, the ones who settle landlord-tenant stuff and deal with truant teenagers and stuff. It's really been exciting to meet so many of these people. I just wish that the nights that I couldn't screen, I had been able to screen, because I felt like I got cheated out of meeting
well,
more neat people.
It was good, though, that you know a lot of these people, and certainly knowing the court system like you do, being able to ask some of the tough questions about being, you know, about the fairness of the court system, and also the fact that you've dealt with some of the rather... And I don't mean this in a, you know, that the court system doesn't know about some of this, like dealing with the transgendered issues, where most of the judges have no concept of what you're dealing with.
Well, that's true. And it was also exciting that this time, whenever we sent out our questionnaire to judicial candidates, we also sent them a bibliography of various cases that we wanted them to read before they came to us, so we wouldn't be doing gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender legal issues 101, but instead they would be up to speed on cases that were important to us. I would venture that most judges on the bench today and most people running for judgeships, were it not for our bibliography, probably wouldn't have ever even read Lawrence.
Yeah, isn't that incredible that, you know, I wonder, I kind of doubt there's any other screening process in the county that has as much component of education in it.
Well, ours is very educational. The people that come to us, it's very obvious after about 5 minutes that their heart is in the right place. And if you already know them, or they've already screened with us, or we've endorsed them in the past, you know their heart's in the right place. But still, they need to be educated on some issues about the unity within the Houston GLBT community.
Well, let's talk about the event. It is a week from tonight.
Yes, Monday night, February the 11th at 7 o'clock.
Okay, and where is it at?
Well, we were very fortunate to get hold of the Magnolia Ballroom, which is downtown.
It's at 715
Franklin
at Milam.
Yes, in between Milam and Louisiana, which is, you know, over there in the northwest quadrant of downtown, the theater district quadrant. I've been there, but not for a number of years. But when I was there, it was very spacious and very grand. And so it's really going to be a great location.
And how could people get tickets? Do they just show up?
It's free.
Oh, wow. That's a deal.
It's a fundraiser. But it's free. Here's the way I sent it out. I said, admission is free, but since it's a fundraiser, if you can afford $10, please bring $10. If you can afford $20, please bring $20. If you can do $100, please bring that. In between, more, whatever works for you. But it is a fundraiser, and if you can't afford to pay, admission is free.
And you said this is benefiting...
Well, it's benefiting two things. One is the Foundation for Family and Marriage Equality, which is the group that puts on Marriage Equality Week. And all of that money, half of that money is going into that week and the events each year around that week. And this organization, this foundation, works for the rights of same-sex couples to be married in Texas. And the other, and half of the proceeds are also going to the Transgender Appellate Fund, which we've been trying to bring up to about 10 grand. We want to have it in place because there will be a day come, hopefully within the next several months, but hopefully within the next year anyway, where we're going to have just the right transgender case to take up on appeal, either for a name change, a gender ID change, or a birth certificate challenge to the Littleton holding, which was a transgender negative holding on the issue of same-sex marriage. And so we're trying to build up that appellate fund.
Boy, between Littleton and Lawrence, we certainly don't have any experience in that down here, do we?
Anyway, they're good causes, so admission is free, but if you can afford 10 or 20 or 100 bucks, whatever, or more, or in between, please bring it. There will be a cash bar, but admission is free.
It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. And who did you say some of the roasters are going to be?
Well, let's see. Ray Hill is going to be the master of ceremonies, because I think in this community, Ray knows me best.
You're probably right, but that means the rest of us probably won't get a word in edgewise.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Anise Parker. Anise has known me for several decades, and she was my coach back when I played on a women's softball league about 25 years ago. And then, of course, our very own Deborah Bell and Jack Valinsky and Jennifer Renee Poole. From Queer Voices and from many decades of activism, etc. Lily Roddy, who is, along with Jennifer Renee Poole, they're my two transgender sisters. Lily and I play guitar together. And, of course, you know, Lily is also the astrologer that writes monthly column in Outsmart magazine. We have Ken Spain, who is a lawyer in town, very active in the state bar and the local GLBT Bar Association. I've known him for a number of years, and he's got some funny stories to tell about me and my fights with the state bar. Edith Smith, who is the past president of the Westbury Civic Club, because she knows a lot of the things that I've done in Westbury, where I've lived for the past 30-plus years. And Barbara Schwartz, who is past president of the Houston League of Women Voters and has known me for decades and has several funny stories to tell about me and the League of Women Voters. And also a very good friend of mine, Mark Timmers. Mark is a law enforcement officer, and he, back in the early 1990s, he was framed as an out gay law enforcement officer. He was framed with a criminal offense, and he hired me, and it was my very first felony trial. And after 2 days, I got a not guilty verdict, and as a result of that, he is still a law enforcement officer, an out law enforcement officer, and he's going to also roast me. So it's going to be a good mix.
It sounds like a fabulous event. I can't wait for it, and we'll even excuse our listeners to be able to go to it rather than sitting listening to the radio that evening, because you can always download the show later.
Dot Tournier, who is going to videotape it, and I expect within about 4 or 5 days' time, she will probably have it up on outhouston.org.
Okay, so that is next Monday, February 11th, at the Magnolia Ballroom, which is at 715 Franklin, between Louisiana and Milam. And it's
7 p.m.
And it's free, no less, but certainly donations are accepted.
It's free, but I hope you bring some cash, because it is a fundraiser.
Absolutely. Well, Phyllis, have a good time in Detroit, and we'll see you next Monday at the event.
Well, thanks a bunch. It's always great to chat with all of you.
Okay. You're listening to Queer Voices.
Is Singapore about to become more GLBT friendly towards people? Well, we'll find out when we go to This Way Out next, after this from Matthew Cloran.
There was a boy, his age was 9, a quiet lad and smart. He seldom spoke and stayed alone, for fear was in his heart. He didn't know the how or why he felt the way he did. He only knew that he felt different from all the other kids. every now and then. His father read to him. He loved this, so oh, this special time when nightlight's glow was dim. Once upon a time it went, and with it went his fear. 'Cause he felt safe under blankets warm with his father's voice so near. One night he heard a tale about a brave and gentle man, a handsome prince who stirred him so as only magic can. Whenever after finally came, the boy sat up to say, I hope someday I find a prince who will save my day. His father's eyes began to change, a shadow crossed his face. The book was shut, the light turned off, goodnight was said in haste. Dark, the boy lies still and listened to the wind, and he wondered why his father left without kissing him. As most boys do, he grew with time. The years went by with speed. His features strong and handsome, his eyes a grayish green. He made few friends and tried to love some girls along the way, but his heart stayed shut behind a wall. Why? He would not say. With him to manhood, the secret he kept inside, the wish he had to find his prince and love him till he died. Along with this, and just as strong, that burns him like a flame, there lives in him his father's gift, and this was not to dare. And so he goes about his days, a tale of endless aching nightmare. When he dreams in restless sleep, every once upon a while arrives the prince from long ago, and on his face smiles. Who now are men whose love is shut inside, 'cause shame and fear betrayed your prince and made him go and hide. Come out and meet your brothers here, and we your soul will lift and help you see your prince is good and loving him. Yes, loving him is again.
Year 2000. That was Matthew Cloran from his album Finally Free, and that was called The Prince. This is Queer Voices.
Trans woman, but first. Until recently, it was illegal to chew gum in Singapore. So it's not surprising that this characteristically Asian country still has a number of serious penalties on the statute books that make life for ordinary LGBT people more challenging than it already is. An attempt last year to repeal these laws failed. Journalist Claudia Cragg, the author of a number of books on Asia, notes that the days of Boogie Street, teeming with dazzling transgender darlings, are long gone. But she says the government is beginning to realize that Singapore might have to do something to change its image or lose tourist dollars to more welcoming countries in the region like Thailand and Hong Kong.
Of Asia, gay people still face discrimination and censure, both in and out of the workplace, and this comes from a mixture of religious intolerance, family conservatism, and legal bans, often inherited directly from colonial rule. In Singapore last fall, the Conservative Parliament voted against a proposal to decriminalize sex between men. This was despite receiving a petition signed by thousands of ordinary people as well as gay activists. Alex Au is a businessman and gay activist and the founder of People Like Us, a Singapore equal rights campaign.
The government through parliament has now decided that sodomy, oral and anal sex, I'm so sorry for using crude language, shall be legal from this point on in Singapore so long as one partner is male and the other partner is female. But the same kind of acts between two male persons would still be punishable by jail terms. At the same time, they've promised that it will not be enforced proactively, and I'm quoting those words from them. Exactly what that means, of course, is to be seen.
It had been a rousing and highly controversial campaign. At the time, the Singapore Prime Minister, H.L. Lee, created an outcry in the gay community with a parliamentary statement. He said that the government did not consider gays to be a minority with minority rights, and that he wished Singapore to always remain as conservative as it now is. The plan for reform, though, was part of a much wider look at sex laws. Anxious that Singapore might appear to be homophobic and miss out on key financial and service sector personnel coming to work there, it seems that Singapore is now taking measures to mend its ways. Dr. Gillian Koh is a senior research fellow at Singapore's Institute of Policy Studies. Ongoing research interests lie in the areas of state and society relations, public consultation, and the development of civil society in Singapore. She says it is no longer the case that people have to be afraid that they will be prosecuted merely because they're homosexual.
What we've done is to revise that so that everything is transparent and nothing like that can be held against them again.
She points out that Lee Kuan Yew, the former Prime Minister and father of H.L. Lee, now known as the Mentor Minister, has made statements entirely contrary to those of his son.
Minister Mentor Lee has said that we certainly can't be prying into bedrooms. So I think that while there is still a law against homosexual acts, these will really weigh in only when people have sort of brought this up against someone else.
In the end, the chamber did pass a bill legalizing some aspects of gay sex, but leaving the anti-gay law 377A firmly on the statute books. Singapore, though, is far more tolerant and, according to Dr. Koh, does let well alone unless charges are brought involving underage or violent sexual acts.
Especially in the case of minors, or if there has been some forced act upon somebody who has not been willing to be a party to it.
The problem is, as she sees it, the very conservatism of Singapore's just over 4 million population.
There's the question of whether removal of this specific law would send a signal, whether it could be removed, and then, you know, there's no question anymore about whether we so-called discriminate against gays. But the government has argued that the rest of society may not be prepared to lift it. So while the government takes one view, it also is taking into cognizance the current weight of public opinion that prefers that it is maintained rather than removed. The key concern is that among the conservative public is that if you remove that, then what happens to the argument about gay marriages and things like that, which this part of society is not prepared to discuss or change yet.
And Singapore does fare a great deal better than a lot of other Asian countries. In November, in Malaysia, a Muslim country where sodomy is a crime, police broke up a gay sex party in a Penang fitness club. They arrested 37 men aged between 20 and 45, and evidence against them had allegedly been picked up off the floor and included used condoms as well as six boxes of new condoms. In Malaysia, then, protection is not considered a sign of responsible safe sex, but of evidence to be used in the prosecution of sex between consenting male adults. Singapore, though, is far more tolerant and, according to Dr. Koh, lets well alone.
So, you know, I think that it's very clear that we don't have policing of bedrooms or anything like that going on. But the law is still there so that if there is a case where it needs to be pressed, then why not?
For This Way Out, this is Claudia Craig.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine brought to you by you. Your charitable donations keep this program on the air. We've produced some special CDs to say thank you to our supporters, featuring queer history, reviews of LGBT music, and behind-the-scenes looks at relevant movies and TV shows. You can also now get CDs of our regular program by subscription, and be sure you never miss a week of This Way Out. For all the details, please visit our website at thiswayout.org. Again, to find out more, please do log on to thiswayout.org, email tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA.
This Way Out Entertainment reporter Steve Pride is always looking for new ways to find romance in Los Angeles, but he's now contemplating his own reality TV dating show after chatting with Hollywood bachelorette around town, Calpurnia Adams.
He's here! My mystery date!
Mystery date! Are you ready for your mystery date? Don't be...
5 years after the debut of The Bachelor on American television, the airwaves are packed with reality romance. This month, the gay-centric U.S. cable channel, Logo, is launching a dating show with a difference. It stars a dear friend, who I think is one of the hottest women in Los Angeles. Her name is Calpurnia Adams. And what's revolutionary about that? 36 years ago, Calpurnia was born a biological male.
Trans-American Love Story is a new dating show that's going to be coming out on the Logo Network, and it features me as sort of a transgendered bachelorette with 8 eligible young men competing for my attention, and every week a guy is eliminated from the show until we end up with one man.
Or to put it in reality speak,
one transgender woman, 8 eligible bachelors, and no secrets.
Calpurnia Adams has few secrets. If her name seems familiar, it may be because the 2003 Emmy-winning film Soldier's Girl was based on her life, including her romance with PFC Barry Winchell and his subsequent murder. These days, she's a full-time trans rights activist, filmmaker, and actress. who runs Deep Stealth Productions with business partner Andrea James, who also helps call the herd on Transamerican Love Story.
I get to play the sassy sidekick who gives her advice and puts the men through their paces. Well, you know, I think I was up to the challenge of handling them, especially with Andrea, because she kept me up to date on what they were doing when I wasn't around and sort of gave me advice when they were.
So is the secret to finding love in Hollywood just get your own reality dating show?
I think that's the new way. That's the 2008 way, is to have a reality show. Usually better odds than I have in my daily life. It's so difficult to date in Hollywood, as people always say, so this show helped me out.
The bachelors differ in age, occupation, and past experiences with transgendered women. There's Barry, a 45-year-old actor.
You know, we've gotten moved in, and I think that really helped me because I got to find out a little bit about each person.
I think my biggest competition would be Rich, and the reasons are pretty simple. He's a sharp guy, great mind, great body.
Blaine, a 47-year-old car salesman.
I kind of feel there's no competition. I'm a totally different candidate. I've been exclusive in the transgender community, only dating transgendered women. Gives me a little different edge, I think, than they have.
Jim, a 32-year-old writer.
I came into this with no expectations. I really consciously said, don't try to think about what she looks like. Don't try to think about anything. I'm tired of being an island. I'm tired of hiding and not feeling like I am worthy of love.
Mark, a.k.a. The Razor, a 34-year-old professional wrestler.
I go by the name Razor Rizzotti, El Italiano Stagliano. I'm a professional wrestler for the last 10 years. I date females and I will date transgender. I'm open. To me, that's a girl.
Mike, a 25-year-old personal trainer.
I admit, I am a bit worried because I don't know if she's going to like me for who I am. I'm not going to be phony or pretend or anything. You know, if I open up to her and she doesn't like what I have to say, how is that going to play out?
Peter, a 25-year-old media consultant.
I like a curvy, tall woman, you know, that when I grab onto them, they can grab back a little bit. I don't need someone to be a supermodel, but, you know, I'm attracted to attractive people.
Rich, a 37-year-old yoga instructor.
I'm straight, and going on a date with a transgender woman, that's fine.
I believe in strong physical attraction at first sight. I think love is just a deeper concept.
I have friends of all sorts, whether it be gay, bi, straight, transgender. I'm somewhat practical in that idea of romance and love.
And finally, Sean, a 33-year-old concert promoter.
In the past, I have dated all types of women, transgendered or otherwise, and I don't discriminate in that sense. But I'm very attracted to womanly features. And I think part of the attraction to a transgendered woman is that they tend to sort of over-exaggerate those features.
Most of the guys consider themselves heterosexual, but among the 8 bachelors is at least one bisexual, and surprisingly, one female-to-male transsexual.
That one came as a shock to us, and it was certainly a nice twist to the entire series.
And how did that twist within a twist play out with Capernaum?
It was great to put me in the position of having to ask myself that question, because normally I'm always the one hoping that other people will, you know, want to date me and be open to dating me. So in this situation, I got to ask myself that question, and my answer was, you know, yes, I'm very happy to meet a man who's a wonderful guy, whether he's trans or not.
While Transamerican Love Story is groundbreaking, it's not without precedent. There's something about Miriam, a 2003 reality show that originally aired in the United Kingdom, featured 6 men wooing 21-year-old Mexican model Miriam, a preoperative transsexual.
That show, I think, it set us back as a media vehicle for trans people, because Miriam wasn't out to the contestants, but the audience was aware, so it left the audience in a position of snickering and laughing at the guys, you know, because they were quote-unquote dating a man. When the Miriam show came out, they called it the cruelest reality show yet, and this show is really a counterpoint to that, because this show is a celebration of not only trans people, but of the people who love us, and that's what's really groundbreaking about it. We've been burned by the media quite a bit. So, you know, a lot of women are cautious. They're, you know, they have a lot of questions. You know, is the show going to be exploitative? you know, aren't reality shows a bad genre, this and that? And those are legitimate questions to ask, but I think when they actually see the show, they're going to be excited by how fun it is and how we really break stereotypes down and have fun with the genre. But by and large, everybody's pretty excited about it.
This has been a conversation with Calpurnia Adams and Andrea James. Transamerican Love Story debuts February 11th at 10 p.m. on Logo. While the Logo cable channel is only available in the U.S., episodes of the show can be purchased online at iTunes, Amazon Unibox, and the Xbox Live Marketplace. Bonus content, including behind-the-scenes streaming video, is available free of charge at logoonline.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Christopher Gall, Donna Ann Ward, Rex Walker with Bill Kelly, Claudia Craig, and Steve Pride contributed program material. Barbara Streisand performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Listen online to This Way Out exclusively at outinamerica.com. You can also click on the link at the top of our website, thiswayout.org. Most This Way Out operating expenses are funded by donations from our listeners. Thank you. Please log on to thiswayout.org to see how you can help keep this program on the air and choose from several special CD thank you gifts. You can also subscribe to CDs or cassettes of our weekly programs there. Email us at tworadio@aol.com or write to Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on 5RRR Woomera, South Australia, WNRB Wausau, Wisconsin, KAOS Olympia, Washington, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we're all going to stay tuned.
This Way Out is heard every week as part of Queer Voices. You are listening to 90.1 FM KPFT.
If you go down to the woods today, you're in for a big surprise. If you go down to the woods today, you better go in
disguise.
For every dyke that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the lesbians have their picnic.
Happy lesbians.
Every lesbian who's been good is sure of a treat today.
Today
there's lots of marvelous things to eat and wonderful games to play. Beneath the trees where nobody sees, they'll hide and seek as long as they please, 'cause that's the way the lesbians have their picnic. If you go down to the woods today, you better not go alone. It's lovely down in the woods today, but safer to stay at home. For every dyke that ever there was will gather there for certain, because today's the day the lesbians have their picnic.
Picnic time
for lesbians. What fun the lusty lesbians are having, a lovely time today. Watch them run and play.
Watch them catch
them on a way. Surprise and see the picnic on their holiday.
Today is their special day.
See them gaily gad about and rock. They love to play and shout. They never have any cares. The lesbians at night at 6 o'clock. Their friends and their lovers will take them home to bed, because they're tired little lesbians.
for lesbians.
Picnic time for lesbians. What fun the lusty lesbians are having a lovely time today.
Watch them run and play.
Watch them catch them.
Run away, surprise and see them picnic on their holiday.
Is their special day?
See them gaily
gad about
and rock.
They love to play and shout.
They never have any cares.
The lesbians will play at 6 o'clock.
Their friends and their lovers will take them home to bed
because they're tired little lesbians.
And of course, that is Lesbian Picnic by Dicapella from their album At the Gates of Heaven from 1998. This is Queer Voices.
I love to be queer.
Well, who would have guessed that on the music?
Yes, really. I love it.
Yes, well, thankfully, JD picks out all this music for us.
I can see you bouncing around in there.
Yes, I love that. Yes, well, hey, it's the Lesbian Picnic. Well, we want to thank our guests tonight, of course, but we also want to remind people that tomorrow's Super Duper Tuesday, and a lot of us will be glued to our TV watching results. On Wednesday, the caucus meets and the endorsement meeting,
yes,
which happens at 6:30. It's at the Haven Center, which is right next to the Chocolate Bar in West Alabama. It's between Shepherd and...
It's right there at Woodhead.
That area there.
Woodhead in West Alabama is right there. Woodhead, Alabama is St. Stephen's Church, and it's right next to it.
And next
we're gonna week, we're gonna have some interesting stuff next week, and you're not gonna be here.
Yeah, what's going on? Do you know?
Well, I know the two Bryans are gonna be busy.
Oh,
it's gonna be me and the two Bryans.
We're trying to fill the big shoes of everyone that's leaving.
That's right. We're gonna have the place all to ourselves, just me and the two Bryans, while the rest of you are off roasting and toasting Phyllis fries.
Yes, and that'll be at 7 p.m. at the Magnolia Ballroom.
I'm gonna bring the anjou
at 7:15 Franklin. So we look forward to seeing everybody
but
there.
But Queer Voices will still be here at 8 o'clock on KPFT.
And the Queer Voices will go on.
That's right. And we're going to, well, I know for one thing we're going to have somebody on from the volleyball club talking about the tournament.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to start pumping up Eastern Houston with both Bunnies on the Bayou and BCBC's Jungle.
Right, once Mardi Gras is over with.
That's the next thing, you know.
That's right. That's the next gay holiday.
The volleyball tournament is on Easter as well. So
politically, we have the primary coming up March 4th, and Texas may be a player this year, and who decides the Democratic candidate for president?
Exciting.
And also in February, we have coming up the Miss LSVA pageant, which is part of the fundraising activity of the volleyball tournament. And so we're going to talk about that as well.
And the new issue of Outsmart is available. There's a lot of good articles in there, so pick it up.
And so who did we talk to tonight?
Well, we want to thank Rudy Martinez for coming in and talking to us from the Houston Pride Band.
And Pat Gandy from Lesbian Health Initiative, as well as Karen Williams, who will be performing Saturday night at their event at the Renaissance Hotel.
David Elliott called us from Washington to talk about the upcoming elections, the primaries. And, of course, Phyllis Fry, who talked to us just a few minutes ago, talking about her roast on next Monday.
Which is a fun one.
This is... Been listening to Queer Voices, heard each Monday at 8 p.m. here on KPFT, a publicly funded Pacifica Network station. Queer Voices is produced live in Houston with recorded segments from This Way Out, which is produced at KPFK in Los Angeles. Queer Voices executive producer is Jack Walensky. On air voices are Glenn Holt, J.D. Doyle, Deborah Bell, Jennifer Renee, Greg Chapman, and Jack Walensky. Be sure to listen every Saturday night, Sunday morning at 1 a.m. for After Hours with Jimmy Carper. It's Queer Radio with Attitude. This is listener-sponsored and commercial-free Pacifica Radio, KPFT, at 90.1 FM, 89.5 FM Galveston, and worldwide via streaming audio from kpft.org. For Queer Voices, I'm Glenn Holt.
Have you ever wanted to discover what KPFT is like during its most energetic moments? Now is your chance. In just a few weeks, KPFT kicks off its winter pledge drive, and we need your help to make it a success. You can put your spare time to use this February by volunteering to answer phones during the drive. Our phone volunteer trainings are Saturday, February 10th at 11 a.m. and Wednesday, February 13th at 6 p.m. The sessions will be held at KPFT Studios, 419 Lovett Boulevard. In just an hour or two, you can help us handle pledges. Your efforts make a big difference and can make this a fun and successful drive. Evenings and weekends are available. Again, those phone volunteer training dates are Saturday, February 10th at 11 a.m. and Wednesday, February 13th at 6 p.m. Visit kpft.org to RSVP for the training or email volunteer@kpft.org to get more information. You are tuned in to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio. KPFT Houston.
Do more channels have less to say? Help shape the future at the Texas Community Media Summit. Join Texas media makers, advocates, and activists at the University of Texas in Austin on Saturday, March 1st. For details, go to texascommunitymedia.org. That's texascommunitymedia.org.
The Texas Community Media Summit brings together folks from all kinds of community media. Art, theater, print, radio, film, TV, and internet. The one-day summit is organized by Channel Austin, Dallas iMedia Network, Houston Media Source, and the Texas Media Empowerment Project. Register now.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.